Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm going to talk about the effect of the dynamics of solar eruption on the escape of energetic particles into the heliosphere. So one of the manifestations of the energy release in the solar corona is the acceleration of particles. So those particles can be accelerated up to few GeV by shock acceleration at the front of the CME or during magnetic reconnection during the flares. Those particles are then injected and propagate into the interplanetary medium to eventually reach the Earth and producing what we call the SEPs. Before propagating into the heliosphere, those particles need to be injected from the acceleration site into the heliosphere. And so for particles accelerated at the shock front here, they only need to reach a speed high enough to be able to escape from the shocking region and reach the open magnetic field connected to the Earth. For the flare accelerated particles, it's another problem and it's not that straightforward. And I'm going to present you why. So first, there is several studies showing that flare accelerated particles are detected at the Earth even if the eruption is accompanied by a flare and a CME. And so according to the 3D standard model of an eruption, if you have a dipolar active region and you have a flux or CME stable in the corona and maintaining by the overlying arcade here, if you destabilize the system, magnetic reconnection will develop below the flux rope between the arcades and form a new set of reconnected field lines. So the fields that are going to close down forming the post-flare loops here, and there is also some field lines that are going to wrapping around the initial flux rope, building up the CME and leading to the loss of equilibrium, and then the CME can take off. So in this situation, what happened to the particles? So the particles are going to be accelerated at the reconnection site and be injected along the reconnected magnetic field lines. So some of those particles are going to precipitate toward the solar surface, producing the X-ray emission that we observed. And another part of those particles are going to be injected in the field lines wrapping around the CME here. And because we are in 3D, those particles are going, the foot point of the CME are rooted both at the photosphere. And so those particles are going to be trapped in the CME and cannot have access to the open interplanetary magnetic fields. So the question is, how do we get those particles escape into the heliosphere? So one possibility that we have magnetic reconnection happening between the CME and the open magnetic field, and that can lead the particle to escape into the heliosphere. So that this CME reconnect with the open interplanetary magnetic field. So we first performed a 2NFD MHD simulation of the problem. And so what we found is that when the flux rope erupts, this is the white structure that you're going to see here. And when the flux rope erupts and interact with the open green field lines here, it's reconnect with the open field. And we formed a new magnetic field lines, which is partly open, but which also belong to the magnetic flux rope. And this is a way that the particle can now escape from the CME into the heliosphere. So there is few observational support for this mechanism in the solar corona. So with observation, we see radio emission at the side of the CME, and those radio sources appears together with the injection of electrons that we traced with type 3 bursts. There is also a statistical study that show that even if you have a strong acceleration during a flare, and if there is no CME, you don't see any injection of electrons in the heliosphere, suggesting that if there is no CME, there is no particle injections. But the main question is now the system, this model works in 2NFD, but does it also work in 3D? Because this is how the sun works. So we went further and we performed a large-scale 3D MHD simulation to determine if the CME reconnects with the open flux. So to do that, we use the ARMS code, and this is essential because it has a dynamic adaptive meshing, and so that allows us to perform the multi-scale treatment, and so we can determine the global dynamic and the large-scale evolution of the magnetic field, and together by resolving the small-scale effect where the reconnection takes place. So the initial magnetic field, this is ambient dipole for the solar magnetic field. And I included an active region, a dipolar active region, in the North Hemisphere. The initial atmosphere is defined as an isothermal solar wind. So first, we need to let the system relax in order to reach a quasi-steady state of the system. And that gives us two set of connectivity. So we have the open magnetic field in green here, and we also have the closed magnetic field below the Helmholtz streamer connecting the two hemispheres. This quadrupolar magnetic configuration also produces a null point. And so this null point here divide the domain in four connectivity domain, and those are delimited by the blue field lines here that represent the separatrix field lines. So this system initially is at its minimal state of energy, and so in order to get the eruption, we need to destabilize it. So we applied some photospheric forcing flows at the photosphere. So what the shape of the photospheric flows are rotational flows here that are rotating the two polarity. But the important thing is that these flows are going to shear the inversion line between the two polarities. And so this shearing flows is going to inject free energy and magnetic shear in the system. So what I'm on this animation, I show the evolution of the magnetic connectivity after the onset of the shearing flows. So the red arcade here are located in the shearing flow. So in order to follow the evolution of their connectivity, I plotted those field lines from 1 foot point, which is fixed in the shearing flows applied at the photosphere. So what we see is that as the simulation evolves, those field lines get more and more sheared, but also bulge into the corona. And so this shearing flow also injects energy, and this is what we can observe looking at the current density that is going to dissipate the free energy. And so this is a 2D cut passing through the null point of the current density, and we see that this structure here, it corresponds to the current density along the sheared arcade, and we see that during the simulation, this is bulging into the corona, and it's also becoming thinner and thinner between the sheared arcade, and it's going to give us the flare reconnection, the flare current sheet, which eventually will trigger flare reconnection. We also noticed another structure forming here. This is the current sheet forming at the null point, and this current sheet becomes more and more intense and more elongated, and this is partly a result of the bulging sheared arcade below the null point. And so this behavior of the current sheet at the null point suggests, of course, that we're going to have magnetic reconnection at the null point. So if we go back to the evolution of the connectivity, those initially light blue field lines that are overlaying the shared arcade are going to reconnect with the larger closed loops here forming the Helmholtz streamer. And this null point reconnection is going to remove the flux and transfer it to the side arcade, and it's going to allow the flux rope to erupt. So what happened now if we look at the entire eruption? So I plotted just a few field lines because it's really complicated. So those are going to be the sheared arcade, and we have the open field here. So if we play the animation, we see that the CME take off and it interacts with the ambient open magnetic field. So if we look in detail the different sequence of this animation, so this is the onset of the CME takeoff. And so some of the field lines are going under flare reconnection below the shared arcade here, and they're going to form these blue field lines here that are now part of the flux rope. And In the meantime, those blue field lines are going to reconnect with the open magnetic field here that were initially green. And so we now have field lines which partly belong to the flux group and now opens into the interplanetary medium. So a brief summary. So the first 3D MHD simulation that we performed here show that we have magnetic reconnection between the open field and the CME erupting into the heliosphere. And so if we go back to the standard 3D model of solar eruption, these blue field lines here that are part of the flux rope and now open into the heliosphere correspond to these field lines here. And so the initially trapped particle into the CME can now have access to the open interplanetary medium and then escape and be detected at Earth. So this is a very promising model, I think, and there is there is more steps to do in order to improve the model. And first, we need to modify the applied shearing flows because it introduces some dynamic of the magnetic field that should not occur during a real eruption. And we also have to increase the resolution of the simulation to determine much more accurately the dynamics, and in particular to determine the sequentiality of the flare reconnection and the reconnection episode coupling the CME and the open magnetic field. And so finally, we're going to study in detail the evolution of the connectivity and the magnetic evolution of the topology associated to that, and determine where the reconnection takes place, which part of the CME flux is involved in this reconnection coupling the open and the open field and the CME, and determine how much flux is going to reconnect through that. Thank you.
We have some time for questions. Mark?
Sophie, why is the flare reconnection below your yellow loop important? I mean, if you've got two reconnection events happening, and as I understand it, you need both of them to happen in succession for this to work. Why is it the first one that's really accelerating the particles and the second reconnection event transfers them? Why not accelerate them in the second reconnection event?
They probably can. The second reconnection between the open field and the CME?
Yeah.
You mean? It should accelerate particles too. It's just that we don't have any observations to see it right now. And this is not the classical picture that people used to think about. But they should.
So the second reconnection event, I mean, they'll go down that field line as well as up. You don't see the footpoints of that second field line?
No, there? So I think, so the RACI people might maybe answer that better, but there is a dynamic range of RACI that does not allow to see the footpoints in the dimming region of the CME.
Okay, thanks.
Let me comment on that. Mark, that first reconnection is basically null point reconnection, which happens all the time in the corona, and that's rarely associated with very energetic particles. So in order to get the energetic particles, you need the flare reconnection. Not only do you need flare reconnection, but you need strong flare reconnection. Not all flares give you highly energetic particles in order to see, you know, RACI event and that kind of stuff. So the bulk of the particle acceleration must occur deep inside there, you know, in the flare region. Not up above. If it happened up above, yeah, then my cat could get the particles out. But it's got to happen inside. That's the problem. And so it's getting those particles out. That's the real challenge.
Is the field is stronger down there? Or?
Good question. You know, what accelerates the particles? Why do you get energetic particles down there? I think it's because the field's A, stronger, but also because there's tremendous shear there. Right.
Yeah.
You have the shear component that gives you, that must play a critical role for the particles, because you also know that it occurs only during the impulsive phase. But anyways, let Sophie talk.